Noah interviewing her father, Bobby Noah, in Wellington, Alabama on March the 29th, 1996. The table of contents are as follows. His first job, his service in the Army, the Vietnam War, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, politics, changes in America, crime, prejudice, the perfect world, and isolationism. Tell me about your first job.
My first job, I drove a cattle truck on livestock for my dad when I was 16 years old. And I also worked in the stockyards where he bought the cattle. I would pen cattle during the day and haul the cattle and hogs that he bought at night.
What places did you have to take them? How far were the drives?
I drove from Montgomery to Wellington, where we live, hauling cattle. And a lot of times hauling cattle from Wellington to Montgomery. We'd haul cattle to Carthage, Tennessee, and we'd pick up hogs in Tennessee and haul back to Sylacauga for Duffy and Dean sausage. We haul about from 150 to 300 hogs a week to Duffy and Dean, and we probably handled 400 or 500 head of cattle a week going different places. And we also horse traded on the weekend.
Did that take up a lot of your time?
It took up all of my time.
About how many hours a week did you work for your dad?
I'd say from 80 to 120 hours.
You just cut into your work and your activities at school?
Yeah, I didn't get to play a whole lot of sports after I turned 16. But I penned cattle in the stockyard and on horses, so that sort of took the place of
it. Let's see, you went into the Army. Well, how old were you when you went in the Army?
I was almost 19 when I went in the Army.
But you missed the draft for Vietnam. How'd you do that?
Well, I enlisted in the Army. After basic training, I was put in a strike outfit. A strike outfit is an outfit where you're subject to pack up and move to another country or across the United States in a matter of 24 hours. In other words, you're on a strike outfit, you're always ready to go where the action is. And somehow, I managed to stay in the same outfit my entire tour of the Army. It was hard to get out of an outfit like that unless you re-enlist or maybe went airborne or went into something else. That's the only way you could get out of a strike outfit. I guess I was lucky to be in that outfit. I didn't go to Vietnam.
Tell me about the time you spent in the Army. What was it like? What places did you go?
It was like an 8-hour-a-day job, except 2 to 3 times a year you had to go out and live in the field, you know, play Army, play soldier, big foxholes, sleep in a pug tent. It got pretty rough in the snow and ice. And in the desert, I stayed in the Mojave Desert one time on what was supposed to be the biggest maneuver ever held in the United States in 64, summer of 64, 1964. It was units from all areas of the armed forces there. I think something like 70,000 to 80,000 troops was in the Mojave Desert. And we were a support group for the inspectors of this maneuver. And we drove from Tacoma, Washington, down in a convoy to Mojave Desert, which was a little over 1,000 miles. And we stayed in the Mojave Desert for 40 days, sleeping in the sand with scorpions and sidewinders, eating sea rations. But it was fun. It was an experience.
Okay, well, even though you didn't go to Vietnam, tell me about your view of Vietnam, the reason for going, whether it was worth it or whatever, from just being an outsider.
Well, at that time, most young men would do whatever their superior asked them to do, whether put their life on the line or whatever. There's a lot of them that refused to go at that time. But at the time, I thought it was a thing to do because our country was defending these people, you know. But over the years, I've looked back and it was more of a political war than it was to go in our win war. If we'd have went on in and did what we had to do, we could have won the war, but we banged around with it for several years and didn't do the job the way I see it. And that what turned people sour on Vietnam, I think. That all goes back to your president, your commander-in-chief, I think. It was more about getting him reelected or making him look good in his office more than winning the war.
Didn't they lie to everybody back in America about what was really happening in Vietnam? And then all covered up, all the people that were getting killed?
Well, I heard all this stuff, and there's a lot of pot smoking going on, a lot of dope going on in the armed forces. I think probably there's a lot of you GIs popped up on marijuana and on avian doing the wrong things, I would think. I wasn't there to see it myself, but I've talked to friends that were over there, and they said it was dangerous to go to sleep at night. Some of the guys on guard duty would get high marijuana, and you couldn't trust them to be watching out for you. And it was dangerous to go to sleep. That's my opinion of Vietnam. Like I said, over the years, I have looked down at it as the wrong thing to do, but it was more political to start with than anything else. They had the capabilities of going in there and winning the war early, but they wouldn't go ahead and do it. They just kept hammering away at it, losing more American lives. I think the troops got fed up with it too, and that's the reason a lot of them got a lot of bad publicity about the way this fight the war.
What do you think about
it? And another thing is, you didn't know who you were fighting over there. They were, all the people looked the same. The enemy looked the same as the people you were protecting, north and south. It's just like the southern people here and the northern people here. They all look alike. And this one friend of mine told me that they had a raid on the camp one night, and they killed so many Viet Congs trying to trying to enter their camp, you know, and one of them turned out to be the guy that cut his hair the same day. He lived in the village with people that were protected, see, and they killed him trying to raid their camp one day. So really the American guys didn't know who they were fighting, when they were fighting.
What do you think about all the of the negative attention the veterans got when they came home from Vietnam?
Well, like I said to start with, it wasn't the soldiers' fault, and they couldn't help what happened. And I don't think the American people looked down their noses at them. They were over there to do a job that they were sent to do. It didn't turn out like World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, come back heroes, you know. That's why you got these people today running around, don't know where they at, long beards and camouflage clothes and all that stuff. They let down, they feel let down because they came back not being heroes. That was one of the first wars we ever fought that we did claim victory, and that hurt.
Well, did you know very much about Martin Luther King back in his day of glory?
Well, I was young at the time, and about your age, and I really wasn't into things happening like that that much, you know. I had an opinion. I sort of looked at it then like, well, it's just some black guy stirring up trouble, you know. But he had his good points. I think it was time that blacks were treated differently because they're human beings just like you and me. I think they would have every job opportunity that I've got. If they've got more skills than I've got, they deserve the job. If I've got more skills than they've got, I deserve the job. That's the way I look at it. I don't believe in bad mouthing any people, you know, as far as calling them names or anything. I don't call white, black, or red. I treat people the way I want them to treat me. And I guess that's the way it should be for everybody. You've got your radicals on both sides, so that's about it. About all I'm saying. Change what other people think or say or do. You have to do it yourself. Have your views and go with your standards. And what other people do, you've got no control of. And they badmouth one another, both sides. So that's all I can say.
Well, what about Malcolm X? Compare his tactics with Dr. King's for me. And tell me what you feel the difference is between those two.
I think he went about it in the wrong way. He is sort of a radical black, I think. He was sort of a radical black. He wanted to force it on people, you know. You don't force anything on people always. You might force it on them today, but you don't do it always. People get fed up with it after a while, and that's what causes countries to fall apart, like Yugoslavia. That's what happened to them. They they were having the Olympics over there 1 year, and then a few years later they was fighting in the streets among themselves. That's it.